Well, we're going to get into preaching time. I trust it's a blessing to you. It's good to see each and every one of you here, and I want to thank you. I hope that after church you'll get to see the Hills. Their table is out in the lobby. We'll, in just a little bit, dismiss them so that they can be out that way, and you can stop by and see them, and want you to just get to know them, get that face plastered in your memory so you remember to pray for them and know who they are when we pray for them, and we thank God for what they're doing. So again, it's a joy to be back in church. We're looking forward to time now to get in His Word. We're looking at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, I preached last week or week before about Peter, that failed prophet, or failed apostle, but a powerful message, and I want to preach about another one, and that's about John, this exiled apostle. But as you find your place in Revelation, last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, I did hear this story about this church treasurer. You know, ours, the church treasurer goes around and tries to take all the money, get it ready, and get it in line where it's supposed to be. Well, this one was trying to raise funds for a big old cathedral that they were coming up with, this big cathedral that they wanted to put forth for their image and all. And so he was going around to businesses and people that are specifically members of the church. And so he was going to this one after another after another. He went to this one guy who's a businessman of the church, very wealthy. And he said, "Listen, I wanted to see what we could put you down for the cathedral as it goes up." And that business owner was kind of upset. He said, "Didn't you know?" And he said, "I've got a sick mother." He said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that." And he said, "And don't you know, I have a widow sister where she's got five kids of her own. And I've got that sister." He said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. And you know, I have a disabled brother. He doesn't get any money from the government, doesn't get any assistance or any programs or anything." He said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that." And so that volunteer, that treasurer, was kind of upset or kind of embarrassed. He says, "Well, I'm just kind of hung his head." And he said, "Well, I'm sorry I asked." He says, "I know with all that money going out to those, you wouldn't have a chance or have enough to give to us." And he said, "I didn't say I give to them. I'm saying if I wouldn't give it to them, why would I give it to you?" So, stingy brother. We're looking at Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and to Smyrna, and Pergamos, and Thyatira, and Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as the snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto the fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of the mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death." I'll stop there. All of that's not in the message, but it's just such good reading. I hated to stop before we got to the end of it, but I wanted to preach for just a little while about this exiled apostle. He's exiled to the Isle of Patmos, which was a place that was a small island, and now it's a Greek island, but about 14 square miles, very little growth on it has ever been. Today, there's about 2,800 or 3,000 people that inhabit that island. They have a little, first aid type station, a little clinic. If you need something, you can go there. But if anything is major, needs done medically speaking, they either fly you over, or if weather's good, over with a boat. There's some chain or some hotel is going to put a lodging place there, mostly because of the tourist aspect of it, because of its significance in being where John was at when he wrote the book of the Revelation. John may be, from history, the only apostle that wasn't killed in martyrdom. Tradition says that he was tortured, dipped in oil, maybe tried to kill him a time or two, but did not. And so now, though, they're pushed him off as he was writing before in Ephesus and ministering. Now they've exiled him to the Isle of Patmos. It looks like the disciple whom Jesus loved would have had a little softer landing, if you would. This is what he gets. This is the one that was on Jesus's laying on his chest there, laying on his breast at supper, the Bible says. This is the one of the inner sanctum, Peter, James, and John. This is one of the ones that were the who's who. This is even of the 12. This is one of the special ones. This is one that God used, obviously, to write this part of the Bible, but also the other gospel and then the epistles of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And this was somebody. And we find that here he's in this spot. Most likely he's about 90 years old at this time, and so he is here, exiled, been tortured, and undoubtedly lonely. He's the prophet. Yet in all of this trouble that he's got, he's about ready to break through and have one of the most exciting experiences of his whole life. And I want to preach to you for a little while about that, about the exiled prophet, or the exiled apostle, rather. Lord, I pray that you bless us now as our prayers. We look into your word, and I pray that it looks into us. And I pray that you would encourage my friends. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm thinking this before I get started in verse number 9. This is the great apostle John. This is the one that Jesus said, "Behold, thy mother," and told John to take care of Mary, the mother of Jesus, after Jesus went on to heaven. So this is the one. This is the upper echelon. This is the top of the top. This is somebody who's in the realm of Christian circles, in the realm of scripture writers, in the realm of apostles. He's the man. But look in verse number 9 how he addressed himself. "I'm your brother." Can I just tell this? I don't know who your favorite preacher is. I hope I know who one of them maybe is. But let's not get into all that. I don't know who your favorite preacher is, your favorite pastor, maybe your favorite fellow on the radio or favorite person on television. There are some good ones out there. There's some nut jobs, of course, as well, but there's some good ones. So many of them are in heaven already, but I don't know who that is. But I can tell you this, as I love our Pastor Emeritus. You know, he's such a great inspiration to me, and I think so much of Preacher Lashley, and I thank God for all he's done, but he himself is also just a man. He's a brother in Christ to every person that's in this room that's saved. I love my pastor who, for all intents and purposes, is the one that would be like my father in the ministry. Under his ministry, I made assurance of my salvation. I had a wonderful dad that preached to me, but Brother Norris was come along by the sovereignty of God, I guess, and just he helped me with the assurance of my salvation, baptized me, and then he performed the ceremony for Amy and I. He ordained me. He hired me twice, and so he's just everything in the ministry, I guess, to that. But even him, he's just another man that is a brother in Christ. And so I'm thinking about John, who had all of the pedigree that you could want, and he says in verse number 9, "There I, John, who also am your brother." You see the humility there? That's not the message, but I just thought it's such a wonderful aspect. I want to share it with you. But I do want to get to this. Number one, as we see right past that statement of being your brother, I want you to see that John remembered the trouble. He hadn't forgot it. Look at it. He says, "And companion in tribulation." John's memory, he's 90, but it's not so bad that he can't remember the difficulty he's had. He's not forgetting all of the things that he had been tortured with. He's not forgetting all of the times that he went through, even with Jesus Christ. He's not forgetting for all the things that he watched as his Lord got crucified. He's not forgetting all of the difficulties he's had. He's, as the old saying back home would be, he's one that had been rode hard and put away wet. He'd had a rough time. One person said, "It's not the age, it's the miles that hurt you on that body." And so John had it. And I think of many today that would be looking at John and saying, "Boy, shouldn't he had it easy?" But he did not. He remembered the trouble, and there was plenty of it. I had somebody come to me here some time back, and they said, "Pastor, I don't know why I'm going through this. I go to church 3 times a week. Now, the rest of the conversation that you didn't have would indicate further what you think about that statement, and that is, I'm doing things right. Why are these things happening to me? And you and I, we both know that it doesn't work that way, but we all know that we also have that mindset that when you're doing things right, you expect things to be flattened out. You expect them to be smooth sailing. You don't expect to get a call from the doctor that says news that you don't want because you've been going to church and you've been trying to be a good family man or family woman. You've been trying to do this. You've been trying to be the person you're supposed to. You've been taking gospel tracts out of your pocket and giving them out. You don't expect to get that bad news. All of us have that tendency to think that way. We know it's false, but we still have that tendency to think that way. Can I just give you one word? Actually, it's not just a word, it's a name. And that name is Job. If you know the Old Testament story of Job, you know that he was the uppity-up. As far as spiritually speaking, he was he feared God, he eschewed evil. He did the things that he was supposed to be. He was doing preemptively, giving sacrifices for kids in case they got into something. He was doing all that he could for himself and for his family. And yet there's not been a person that in that era had been put through the ringer, so to speak, like Job. And so Job was that one. He was not getting bad stuff happen to him because of good, or bad, rather. He was having it happen to him because of good. And John was exiled not for doing wrong. John was exiled for doing right. Because it said that in that passage, that it says, for the word of the Lord, he says, I'm here because of these different things. And we understand that he remembered the trouble that he had. My friend, I'd love to tell you, like some maybe televangelists would hold their hand over the crowd and say, something good is going to happen to you. This is going to be the most powerful week you've ever had, and all things are going to turn out. You're going to find a $5 bill every time you turn around. You say, Pastor, if you're pronouncing those things, make it a $100 bill. All right, every time you turn around, you're going to find a $100 bill. I would love to tell you that, but I'd be a big liar. Because I don't know, you may have the greatest week of your week this life, or greatest week of your life this week, or you may have the worst. I don't know, because I know John was doing what he was supposed to be doing. John was that beloved apostle. John was that one that had been close to the Lord. John was that one that took care of the Lord Jesus Christ's mother. John was the man, and yet we find him in trouble. First of all, we see that he remembered the trouble, but I want you to see in verse number 9, yes, that trouble they remember, but you got to get to verse number 10. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. I see not only was he remembering the trouble, but then he also never gave up. He said, Pastor, what do you mean he never gave up? I'm saying this, let's put ourselves in the shape of John. You're exiled without family and friends. You're exiled where people don't know you. You're exiled where you've been doing right, but you got pushed out. He was writing other books of the Bible from Ephesus, most likely. And he had got exiled from there because of his stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is doing right, he gets punished. He's doing more right, he gets punished. He was not only leading that church there in Ephesus, but giving oversight to some other churches and being a blessing and being a great help of the Lord. And so for all of that, what does he get? He gets the trouble. And it would be easy for you and I to stay down when we get pushed down. Let me give you an illustration. Maybe this past December, you decided for January for my New Year's resolution, I'm going to do some things. I'm going to keep my workstation neat and tidy. I've seen a few of your workstations. You obviously did not make that resolution, but I don't know that my work desk back here is that neat and tidy either. But let's say, for instance, you did, for the sake of argument, you made a resolution, it's going to be neat and tidy. But then it just seems the week of all weeks happened and whoosh, looks like an atomic bomb went off in your office and your desk was the epicenter. And it just looks like it's level. Do you know what I know for the next day? The next day, it's easy just to leave it a mess. It's already a mess. And then for the next day, it's easier. And the next day, it's easier. Whereas had it been neat and tidy, it would have been a little easier to keep it neat and tidy. It's always easier to keep things in order than it is to get it back in order. You say, what does that have to do with this? Back to John. You're beat down, mistreated, tortured, now exiled. Do you know what I know about a situation like that? Not much as far as all those drastic situations, but I do know this. When I get down, it's so much easier to stay down. But what does the scripture say about John in verse number 10? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. different commentators go back and forth. Some of them say that's the day of the Lord, which is talked about later in the book of Revelation. But I would think that, like some other commentators said, that no, it just means the Lord's day, meaning that first day of the week, that day that we are celebrating the resurrection of the Lord. Isn't it amazing that John never got over all of the work that Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior that he believed in, never got over what he did? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. If you were there by yourself, you were there because you were doing right. You were there because you were exiled. You had everything going against you, and nobody was going to know if you went or not. John says, I tell you what I did. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And here you are. Fast forward these couple thousand years. Here you are in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. And maybe you're a great testimony as well to the terrible week that you've had, but yet you found enough strength to get in and say, I'm going to get back in. I'm going to try to see what God has for me. I'm going to be in church on the Lord's day. And I see about John that he never gave up. I heard a story, it's not true at all, and so I know some of you are thinking, I know a lot of yours aren't true. Well, this one, I'm giving you fair warning, it's not true, but an old parable or a fable. Fellow's little donkey fell into a dry well, and the well had quit producing anyways, and so the guy thought, well, the donkey's not worth getting out of there, and the well's dried up, I'll just kill two birds with one stone. So he said he's just going to bury the donkey and fill the well in at the same time. So he'd throw a shovel in there and it'd land on the back of that donkey, and that donkey would just shake it off. He'd throw another shovel in there, land on that donkey's back, and he'd just shake it off. He did that again, 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 and he did that again, 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 until eventually he just walked out on level ground. You say, is that true? I already told you it wasn't true. No, just, but you can learn a lot from that little donkey. When the world seems to be shoveling all kinds of stuff on you, just shake it off. And John, not only did he remember the trouble that he was in, he says, I'm a companion in tribulation. I know what it's like. But he also never gave up. This next story is true. This little fellow was over, a man, but just a small petite fellow, was over in Africa. And he saw this other young guy, and this young guy was leading a huge elephant with a small rope. And the rope wasn't big enough to hold the elephant. Neither was the small young person that was holding the rope, that was holding the elephant, but strong enough to hold the rope or the elephant. And so the visitor said, is that rope, or you for that matter, able to hold that elephant? He says, no, not on your life. He said, but there was a time when she was a little baby elephant, and we put that rope on and we could hold her. And so as we've trained her, she doesn't know, but what she still can't be held by that rope. Dad raised cows, he didn't have any more, but you can have, if you've got a cow that's been in the field or been fenced in all their life, you've had a good fence, unless they're just rogue for some reason, usually they're easy to keep in because you've trained them. You can have a less than strong fence and still keep a good cow in. And you know what I think we've had happen to us? Sometimes we've been taught by the world, by different circumstances and difficulties, that we need to be kept down. But we see that John never gave up. And even though he was exiled, even though he was ridiculed, even though he was tortured, even though he was left over there, even though all the things were stacked against him, I don't know how it happened on that morning. I don't know how he got up. I don't know how all of the surroundings, the Bible doesn't say, but it does say this: I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I'm challenging you to look up to see what God wants you to do. You may have the worst week of your life this past week, but you're still here. And I give you kudos for that. I'm saying that John, although he remembered the trouble, yet he never gave up. Now we have to move on in the passage here. And I've got to give you this last one. Look down in verse number 12. We see that in verse 11, first, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What seest thou write in the book and send it unto the seven churches, that those were churches, literal churches around there. But look at verse number 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. I give you this last one. Not only did he remember it, not only did he never give up, but now he gets to fellowship with the Lord. Can you imagine? I cannot imagine the power of that voice coming from behind John. I wonder if it was somewhat like that voice that he had heard when he walked with Christ and he had talked with him and ministered with him as used of God. I don't know about all that, but you understand it had been some time before John had seen the resurrected Christ. He had written some books of the Bible under inspiration of God. He had been used of the Lord to lead the church. He had done all of these great things, but there had been one thing that he had missed: the voice of his Savior. And so this exiled apostle gets to fellowship with the Lord. He gets to see a vision of what God, Jesus Christ, is. And he sees all this beauty and all of this power and all of this majesty. Can you imagine the writer of much of some of the scriptures now gets to see this vision of Christ and all of his power and all of his majesty? You know what it's like when you get to see a friend. You know what it's like when you get to see a relative or some ex-coworker used to be around you all the time, and you come back and you fellowship together with them. That's a wonderful thing. Well, it had to be nothing like this day when John was turned. And I imagine that there was fear in his heart as he decided that he was going to turn. But he's like us. He couldn't help himself. And he turned around, and the Bible says he saw this beautiful vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand that John fellowshipped with the Lord. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. This was not the first time he'd been praying. This is not the first time that he had spent time with the Lord. But now he gets to see this beautiful vision and writes about it in the Word of God as you get to read today. He gets to fellowship with his risen Savior. And you know that you and I, as believers in Christ, we had the same opportunity this morning. We won't see a vision, as it were. We won't see the resurrected Christ. We won't see him in all of his glory necessarily. We will one of these days. But we get to fellowship with the Lord. I told the young people who were sitting here in these pews yesterday, I said, young people, I said, you ought to do an exercise. Go out in the morning or in the evening or sometime when you don't have anything to do. Shut everything off. Silence your notifications on your phone. Do everything. Push it away. And just look at the beauty of nature. Look at those trees. They'll be budding out here before long. And I'll be anxious to get to that point where we don't have to worry about the freezing weather. I'll be anxious for all that. Maybe this rain will help. You'll see those trees blowing in the breeze, or maybe you sit on the look at the beautiful mountains that we get to view around here on a regular basis, or maybe you're watching some mountain stream as it comes down through there, and we're going over those rocks, and I told the young people, I said, look at that, and remind yourself that that's my God that did that. Like the special music sang today, the great I am still is. He's still that same one. And I'm challenging everybody, just the teenagers here yesterday, but challenge every one of us to have that fellowship with the Lord. I know that life has been rough, and I know that things have happened in your life. I'm looking in the faces of people right now that the dearest soul on this earth is not with you anymore. They're already in glory, but here you are on the Lord's day, hopefully in the Spirit, listening to the Lord. And I say thank you, thank you, thank you. And I say to everyone else, as life has a way of beating us down, as it did to John, as it has a way of torturing us, as it did to John, as it has a way of exiling us. Maybe your Patmos is not that little 14 square mile that's got a few thousand people in it, but your Patmos, where you seem to have been exiled by all of the situation of life, maybe your Patmos is that you can't talk to your family because they won't let you commune with them. Maybe your Patmos is something else that you feel like you're on that island of yourself. I would challenge each and every one of us to still get in the Spirit on the Lord's day, claim victory, and claim life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us not be those ones that stay down and out. Instead, let us rise and say, yes, I'm one of the ones that's been in tribulation, but I'm going to get up and go to church anyway. And I don't mean just get up literally and go to church this morning, but I'm talking about in the morning, on Monday morning, on a Tuesday morning, you get up and say, I know it's been rough, but I'm still going to get up. Because there's still a God that I can commune with. The exiled prophet. If you're here this morning and life just seems like it's taken a lot of pleasure out of throwing you difficulties, My friend, don't ever give up. Find yourself like John in the Spirit. Who else would have reason to just fold it all up and go home? We have no home to go home to. He's exiled. Tradition would say get off of it later, but even that much older. But who else would have more temptation to call it quits? They've beaten you. They've tortured you. Now they've exiled you where you're by yourself. Who's going to know whether you get up and you're in the Spirit? Who's going to know if you just say, I don't think I'll do it anymore? Well, I for one am grateful that John rose again on that next morning and said, I want to commune with the Lord. And I don't know how many Lord's days he had done this before. But boy, can't you imagine as he's rejoicing in heaven, even now, I'm sure he was glad he was that he was communing with the Lord on this day. So as we see this, wherever you are, would you take that initiative to say, I'm going to keep on rising. I'm going to keep on being in the Spirit. I'm going to keep on seeking the Lord, whatever's gone on. And if you're here today and you're not sure that you even know that risen Lord Jesus Christ, maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I'm here because there's been something going on inside of me, but I don't think I know Jesus like you're talking about. My friend, Jesus Christ, the reason that you're here is the Lord's been working on you and bringing you into a place like this so you'd hear about this resurrected Christ. The reason that John could have all this victory is because his trust, his reliance, and faith was placed in the Messiah, his resurrected Savior. And if you're here today or listening or watching, and you've never put your trust, you've never turned an eye to Jesus Christ, forget about all the other stuff. We tried so many ways. None of those work, but you turn today and say, I want to accept Christ for forgiveness of my sin. Isn't it time that some of you quit running to everything else in life and stop trying to figure it out on your own, stop trying every new thing that comes, and just turn in faith and repentance to Jesus Christ and take Him as your Savior? If you need to be saved, I challenge you that this is the day. And if you're here and you are saved, let's take a lesson from this apostle. The exile pushed out from everything that was familiar. Isn't it amazing? What if I were taken from everything that was familiar to me? And I was put somewhere where nobody knew me and I didn't know anybody. Would I get up and be in the Spirit on the Lord's day and commune with Him just for His sake and my sake? Or do I do what I do to be seen of people around me? It's a thought-provoking question. I'm challenging you this morning to make it so in your life that you are in the Spirit on the Lord's day, that you never give up. You keep on seeking Him no matter what difficulties come. Even if they exile you, may we still seek the Lord. Would you bow your heads together with me in prayer? Father, I thank You for the time to be in Your house. I pray, dear Lord, that this message has lifted our eyes to You. Lord, I pray that we would see a glimpse today of our need to get in the Spirit. Been beat down, exiled, rode hard, put away wet. Lord, help me to get up, be in the Spirit, rejoice in the resurrected Christ, and fellowship with Him. And Lord, I pray if there's one or a few that aren't saved, I pray that today they would come to Christ. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? As folks come and pray, would you come and pray? Maybe you've been that one, you felt like you've been beat down, half dead. You'd like to come and present yourself on the altar to say, Lord, I'm going to get up tomorrow. I'm going to praise You when it goes good. I'm going to praise You when it goes bad. as they play through another verse. No rush here. If God's speaking to your heart, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right here in front of the pulpit. If you're here today, not sure that you're saved, not sure that you know that resurrected Christ, my friend, Jesus Christ came physically, literally lived on this earth with a real body. It was God himself, but he was a full man as well. Went to an old cross for you and for me. Shed his precious blood, was buried, rose again 3 days later in victory to present you and I a way to go to heaven. If you've never been saved, would you step out and come? My friend, he wants to save you today. Amen. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it is a privilege and a joy to be in church. Say, Pastor, you always say that. Well, it's always true. I love it. I love being here. I'd come even if, I came a few times when nobody was here back during COVID. So, you know, I just came and me and Brother Daniel and Dan, I guess, and we'd be up here with some of the folks in the sound booth. And it's boring in here with just a camera. I mean, Daniel's not much help. I mean, so look at the rest of it. It's such a more enjoyable time when you're here. No offense, but... thank you for being in church, and I love to be together, and thank you. I hope that you do as well, and I trust that you'll be praying for next Sunday. The Lord will give us a wonderful day in his house. Tonight, Brother Josh Hill will be here with us again, and he'll be presenting that work and just giving us an update and let us know how we can best pray for he and his family. And they're back here. I'm going to ask you to slip on back to your table, brother, you and your family, and hopefully you'll get by and put a face with the name. I know we have a lot of missionaries, but they're wonderful missionaries to the mountains of Guatemala, and so we thank God for them. It's a wonderful joy to have them with us. It's also good to have Caleb and Kendra Moore back there and their little one. Praise the Lord, Brother Archie, Miss Diane's daughter, son-in-law, but who cares about that when a grandkid comes? I think Kendra probably came to the door, and Archie said, get out of the way, give me the baby. And praise the Lord. Thank you all for being here. It's a joy to see each of you. While you're standing, I've got a great announcement. Miss Glenda Clemens, she's back there in the back. But she is saved, loves the Lord, been a member of another Baptist church for years, used to work and serve in that church. But the Lord has led her here to Buffalo Ridge. And so she's a real blessing. And she would desire to unite in fellowship with us. And if somebody would like to make a motion, we'd receive her. Brother Larry Russell in the back. And Brother Larry knows her. And so we thank God for that. We need a second. Brother Larry Trent seconds that. All in favor to receive Miss Glenda Clemens into her membership. Would you say amen? Opposed, same sign. Amy always gets me. That'd be a hard thing to say. Amen. I'm not going to, because amen means let it be. So forgive me on that one. But we knew that wouldn't be anyway. So, well, I'm going to have Amy slip to the back. And Miss Glenda, if you want to slip out there with us in the back, she'll be with us. And I hope you get by and meet her. Josh Hill and his family will be out there also. And I hope that this truly has been for you. I know it's been for me the Sunday place to be. I love Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Choir, thank you again for singing for us. Brother Daniel, Miss Becca, and Lauren, thank you all for that wonderful, wonderful job of song. And so thank you other folks that played the instruments and all of that. Thank you for each of you. Brother Daniel, would you come and dismiss us? And I'll get to the back, and you're dismissed after that.
Father, thank you so much for the reminder this morning from the songs and from the message, Lord, just that we can come to you, and Lord, that we have a relationship with you that we can lean on and we can develop, and Lord, that gives us purpose in this life. And I pray you bless us as we go. Help us have a wonderful afternoon. Bring us back together safely tonight and bless this week in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.